Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is WebSphere Transformation Extender Analysis of a Test Case. Today's presenter is Paul Brett. Paul joined IBM in 2005 as part of the Accenture acquisition. Working in the Industry Solutions Development Division as team leader for the IBM WebSphere TX Customer Support Team in EMEA, he has day-to-day contact with customers both internal and external at all levels. Paul has acquired over 10 years of product knowledge, having supported the WebSphere Transformation Extender product since version 5. At this point in time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Paul.
Thank you, Joseph. Hello, and welcome to this WebSphere Technical Exchange. My name is Paul Brett, and as already mentioned, the subject today is WebSphere Transformation Extender, Analysis of a Test Case. I want to thank you all for taking the time out of your busy schedules and joining me. I sincerely hope that you find this session both interesting and informative. Let's move to slide 2. Here we have the agenda. We will kick off with a short introduction where I will explain the scope and overall purpose of this presentation today. I will then go on to talk about the various execution methods of WTX and taking a closer look at particular execution scenarios. As I will explain later, the goal is to get to the command server. There will be some information on how to deal with third-party connectivity via the WTX adapters. I will then give a brief talk on the benefits of converting, at least temporarily, functional maps into executable maps. This will be followed with some tips and best practice information about both input and output data. Please move to slide 3. Continuing the agenda, I would like to discuss the key concepts used in the packaging and delivery of the ideal test case. After a brief summary, I will highlight some additional WebSphere product resources which you may find useful. The session will be rounded off with a call for feedback, followed by a light and informal question and answer session. Please move to slide 4. Today I shall be talking through a series of typical execution failures and what logical steps could be taken to create a test case for IBM WebSphere TX customer support. Help us to help you. We will be focused on mapping failures, which usually manifest in a failure to receive the expected output. Third-party connectivity issues need to be approached differently and will not fall under the scope of this presentation. What is the point, you may ask? Well, depending on the business impact of a failure in question, it may be time-critical to get the solution. A well-thought-out, clearly described and packaged test case can mean the difference between spending a few minutes with support or a great many hours. The steps I'm going to attempt to clearly explain are exactly the steps that a competent member of the IBM WebSphere TX customer support team would go through. The problem here is that mostly IBM staff are not as familiar with customer data as the customer themselves are. Familiarity with the data can speed up this process. Efficiency and data knowledge can equal speed. At the end of the day, I think many would agree that in an ideal world, you would contact WTX support and give us everything we need in one. After a period of time, receive an analysis of the issue and potentially a solution. Let's be honest, who wants to spend hours with emails or telephone calls back and forth attempting to clarify the issue before analysis can even start? Please move to slide 5. So, we know that there are almost as many ways of calling a WTX map as there are days in the month. This is because WTX has become the strategic transformation engine of choice throughout many IBM products. Here, I have highlighted four basic groups into which I would place them. I shall take a moment to discuss each in turn. The goal in each case is to convert the map to run under Command Server. Why, you may ask? Well, the Command Server offers the most immediate results and is the simplest part of the software to set up. Please move to slide 6. WTX maps called from the launcher are, I think, the easiest to convert. The DTX.ini configuration file contains an entry which, once activated by removing the semicolon, will produce a launcher startup summary file. This file can be used to verify the execution start options and the failure of the map in question. When used in conjunction with the Integration Flow Designer document, it should be fairly easy to determine the correct startup parameters required to execute a single map in what is possibly a large sequence of maps. Please move to slide 7. The steps required are as listed. First, you need to identify the inputs for the map, using the launcher startup file previously mentioned. Then, you need to isolate that data, especially if it is from a third-party software system. There will be more on that subject later. The data needs to be prepared. If, for example, there are 50,000 rows and the error occurs in only one of them, you must ask yourself, is there any point in sending 50,000 rows of data to IBM support? Finally, and crucially, the map needs to be executed at every key change to ensure that the error can still be replicated. Please move to slide 8. Back to the list of execution scenarios. Let's take a look at the second on this list. I would like to group them all together, but in this group we have Message Broker, Application Server, Sterling Integrator, and others. Please move to slide 9. Execution under non-native trigger-based software, such as IBM WebSphere Message Broker, WebSphere Application Server, Sterling Integrator, etc., is very similar to execution under Launcher. In each case, you have to identify the map causing the issue using a combination of the design tools in each case and a step-by-step approach. For example, with the message broker, on the design canvas, you could add a trace node both before and after the map node to check that the map is receiving and returning the correct data. You could also activate the WTX card backup options and get at the raw data that way. Remember, the ultimate goal here is to get the map and the failure replicated using just the command server if possible. Please move to slide 10. Once more, we return to the list of execution scenarios. Let's move to the third in the list, the WTX API. Please move to slide 11. As you may know, reading somebody else's code, even if heavily documented, can sometimes be difficult. When a map failure occurs when called from the WTX API, it is sometimes very difficult to identify and extract just that portion of the code where the error happens. Using the Design Studio to compile in a hard-coded setting to create the audit log can help, although this can sometimes be thwarted with specific code to suppress the audit log. One thing that can be useful here is using one of the example maps included with a full installation of the Design Studio. Example1.c or example1.java are two great code examples that show the simplest way of running a map from those respective languages. Once again, the goal is to identify the input data used by the map, ready for a command server execution. Should it prove impossible to replicate a certain scenario using the command server, and only the API will do, then sometimes just building upon the simple examples provided, making the minimum changes necessary, can help. Supplying these minimum changed examples and the data and map to WTX customer support can often lead to a quick resolution. Please move to slide 12. With the last look at the list of execution scenarios, I don't want to go into too much detail, but suffice to say that there are other map execution methods, event agent, enterprise Java bean, etc. But in each case, the logical steps are the same. You will need to pull out the map in question and take whatever steps are necessary to identify, isolate, prepare, and execute the map and data in the command server instead. Please move to slide 13. So, the map executes under command server and still shows the same issue. Hurrah! Well, not quite yet. There's more that can be done. Ideally, you have one map source file, one or possibly two type tree files, and an input file. Within your source map, there should be only one executable per scenario you're describing, say a success and a fail, or maybe an error and a workaround that you've discovered. Each of the input and output cards should write to a fixed file name using the file adapter. If possible, no functional maps should be used, and the entire issue should be demonstrated with a few simple rules in the top-level functional map. It's rarely, if ever, this simple, correct? Most of the time, your map will break some, if not all, of the ideals I've just mentioned. Over the next couple of slides, I'll talk about things that you can do to get to this point. Please move to slide 14. Doesn't matter if the source card originally used JMS, database, or MQ as its source. Once you grab that data and get it into a file, the card can be converted to a file adapter-based source card, and the test case becomes way more portable. You can usually achieve this by activating the backup option of the card in question. This will capture the input as received by the adapter, and you can then have this dropped as a text blob into a file. Should this prove problematic, you can also completely replace the map with a simple blob-to-blob style map and use the built-in WTX functions to write the information to a file using an output card or a put rule to the file adapter. Information retrieved from third-party systems with map rules, such as DB lookups, DB queries, and other general on-the-fly get operations, can also be captured and put to a file using the put function and the file adapter. This is to make the test case portable. Please move to slide 15. Consider the options for paring down your map so that it has no functional maps. Let's say, for example, that your input is 50,000 rows, and each row executes the functional map and creates either a row of its own or some other form of individual output. If each and every output shows the issue, is it really necessary to produce all of it? There are two options I know of to achieve this result. You could delete the call to the functional map, then in the repeating object of the output, add an index and re-add all the pertinent rules into the indexed version of the output. Using the square bracket notation, it is possible to extract a numbered index of a repeating item in the input, but it is better to cut down the input if possible. We'll discuss this in more detail in a moment. As you can see from the screen prints on the screen, you will see that I have done exactly that. I have deleted the functional rule out of the second screenshot there, replacing it with equals none. And I've then taken the rules that would have been found in the functional map, in this case, putting in the fixed value stuff, and put it into an indexed version of the repeating output. Please move to slide 16. Alternatively, you could capture the information going to one iteration of the functional map as files, and then convert the functional map into a standalone executable map. See in the panel on screen, I've used two put rules concatenated with a plus sign to send the data that would have originally gone to the functional map call into two hard-coded file names. I have used a for in square brackets to capture the fourth iteration of the repeating input group, as in this instance, this is where the key input data can be found to replicate the reported issue. Please move to slide 17. A quick word about input data. I've mentioned it before, but if the input data is 50,000 rows and the test case needs only one of them to demonstrate the issue, please consider paring back the input data as much as possible. By all means, include rows that demonstrate the opposite of the issue occurring where that would help with clarity of the issue. When specifying a location of a particular note in the data, such as where an input validation failure might occur, try to use byte offset numbers where possible. Many popular text editors are able to tell the user where in the file the cursor is at, so please use this information when submitting the test case. Should foreign or non-native data, such as ASCII, be involved, try to specify the input data in hex pairs where possible. Some of the normal characters with inflections do not travel through all email systems successfully. It is much better to say at byte offset 452 you will find hex pair E900, which is the French inflected E character, than to just try to print the character as you would in your third-party front-end tool. Please move to slide 18. Moving on to output data. Hopefully, your map will only produce the minimum output to demonstrate your issue. If the issue is that a field is getting trimmed, then only map that field, as well as the field immediately before and after, if necessary. Again, when specifying the location of a particular note in the output data, such as where the output might differ from expectations, try to use byte offset numbers where possible. The output data received and expected should be specified in hex pairs notation. Staying with the notion of expectations, it would almost certainly be helpful to fully explain the expectations if the output is considered incorrect. Supplying to IBM WTX support two files named output execution with commandserver.txt and expected output.txt for comparison would certainly help with clarity. Please move to slide 19. A word about packaging. Those of you who have used WTX Design Studio know that during the course of editing and saving source files, many backup and other files are created, or garbage as I like to call them, .bak, .dbe, .odq, .mdg. None of these files are useful in replicating the issue. Unless the issue is directly related to an issue with the Design Studio, and therefore not really covered in the scope of this presentation, then all these files are completely unnecessary. Additionally, extraneous source files need not be included unless directly related to the reported issue. For example, if the issue has been replicated using Command Server, there is no need to include the Integration Flow Designer document. If the map entries have been hard-coded, there is no need to include the resource registry files or the database MDQ file. Once again, this is true unless, of course, the issue is directly related to the use of those files. Please move to slide 20. To keep everything together, please use an industry-recognized archive and/or compression utility to package all the required files together in a portable format. It would be better to use the more widely known .zip, .rar or .gd rather than maybe .bd2 or .7z, regardless of the additional compression benefits that these may bring. Naming the archive file with the PMR number, date, and author initials would help to identify the file at a later time. To send the file to IBM, please use the most suitable and available method, as described in TechNote number 1243454. Some files, small ones, are suitable for attaching to emails. Larger files will need to be sent via FTP to avoid any restrictions on attachment sizes in both source, intermediate, and target email systems. Please move to slide 21. Let's have a quick review of the steps I've outlined. This multi-step process is designed to assist in rapid diagnosis of validation and/or mapping problems. The first step is always to try and make the test case portable. Ideally, it will run in the command server and only use the file adapter to get and put data. Next, you would be advised to cut down the input as much as possible while still giving enough data to adequately demonstrate the issue. Additionally, you would attempt to cut down on the use of functional maps, work cards, and extraneous rules to ensure that the output is as clean and concise as possible. Finally, I've recommended the packaging up of the minimum amount of files so that subsequent reviews by both IBM WTX Customer Support and WebSphere TX software developers is as efficient as possible. Thank you all once again for attending this WebSphere Technical Exchange. I would now like for you to hand you back to Joseph.
Thank you, Paul, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the line for questions.
We have no questions over the phone.
Okay, it looks like we don't have anything in the web conference either. So at this point in time, we will conclude the presentation.